and welcome to the Headache Doctor podcast. This is episode number 7, where we're going to talk about how your migraine got started. I'm Dr. Taves, and it's my mission to empower everyone with headaches and migraines to break free from a life of fear and dependence and thrive in everything they do. So in this episode, we're going to hit on two main causes, or the neck injury we talked about in episode 1 is overlooked. And that's the problem. That's the main thing that I need to drive home to people is that you need to find the right provider that can evaluate and treat effectively this neck problem that we have going on in so many people that are struggling with headaches and migraines. So how does that start? When patients come in and see me, they want to know what went wrong. What could they do differently to avoid this happening again? But ultimately, they're curious as to how their pain got started in the first place. Okay, so I have this neck injury. I understand where the pain is coming from. I understand why my body responds this way. But how did this get started in the first place? We've talked about triggers and how triggers are not the cause. They're not the origin of pain. They just affect the origin of pain. They affect your body's threshold, or they will increase the amount of tension through your neck, which plays into what you feel or what you experience as far as a headache or a migraine. So triggers are not the cause. Triggers are not the origin. And what is the thing that actually leads to the neck injury that we discussed? What is causing the neck to lose movement? What's causing the neck to lead the tissues that support the head and the neck? Why are they irritated in the first place? We know that movement causes that irritation, but what causes that loss of movement? So there's two main things that I want to discuss with you. The first is whiplash injuries, and the second is head and neck trauma from different sports. Now, there's two types of patients I have in my head, and these are the most common types of patients that I see. The one is the middle school, high school athlete, typically female, but males can definitely get this type of injury as well. They're athletic, so they're in gymnastics, they're in volleyball, soccer, and they have head or neck trauma that, whether it's right after the incident or it takes weeks or months later, they'll develop headaches or migraines. So that's scenario one. Scenario two is that you experience a car accident, a motor vehicle accident, a head or neck trauma, some sort of whiplash injury. And that can happen in as an adult. It can happen as a kid, and it can even happen in adolescence or as a toddler. And the neck will respond with this sort of injury, and it not be experienced till later in life. So let's start with the head and neck trauma, the motor vehicle accident type patient. So what happens in this scenario? You're driving down the road, you get hit, you get sideswiped, someone rear-ends you. Your neck can't respond quick enough to accommodate to the force that is pushing, driving your head in one direction. And so your head weighs about 12 pounds. And so it's like moving a bowling ball very, very quickly in one direction. And it has so much mass that your neck needs to be in a very stable position to accommodate to that. Now, when your neck can't accommodate to that quick, whether it's a lateral or front to back type movement, what happens is there's kind of a shearing force, and the brunt of that force is likely to be seen in the most mobile segments. And we see injuries pop up with hypermobility, or joints that are just more mobile than other joints. So the shoulder joint is one of those. We have movement in all planes of motion in the shoulder joint, and there's actually four different joints that are playing into that movement in the shoulder. And any of those four joints can be injured, can be irritated, lead to issues. And a lot of the reason is because there's so many things that need to coordinate to allow us to reach up overhead. And so when we have increased mobility, we kind of sacrifice stability. Think of the hip joint. And if we think of the opposite type of joint, the hip joint is generally very stable. Now, we can flex our hip joint, we can move our leg out to the side, but we can't, most of us, if the hip joint is functioning properly, we can't extend it in this sort of like 360, 180 degrees of motion, front and back, side to side. It has limitations to it. And the hip joint itself is very structurally sound. There's there's ligaments, very strong ligaments, and a capsule, an actual bony capsule that will keep it in its socket. And so we see fewer injuries when it comes to the hip, more like arthritis later on in life. So that was a long way of saying that the hypermobility that we have in the upper part of our neck that I've discussed before, that C1, C2, and the head sitting on the first bone. So remember, we get most of our rotation through C1 and C2, and then we get a good fair amount of like nodding and side-to-side motion out of our head sitting on the first vertebrae, that first bone. And so a lot of the mobility comes from the upper part of the neck. And so we have this 12-pound head moving quickly in one direction. The neck can't accommodate to it. And that shearing force is going to be, the brunt of it is going to be placed through those first two joints in the upper part of the neck. And that's also, they're just the closest in proximity to the head. And so that's where we see the trauma that occurs. So the mid portion of the neck, if you guys recall, I've talked about it, each segment only does about 5 degrees of movement. So it's a little bit more stable in the mid portion of the neck. And then as we get into the thoracic spine, you've got the rib cage, you've got the several shoulder muscles that are kind of tying into the spine. And so the whiplash type injury generally isn't going to affect the thoracic spine as much, but really anywhere in the neck is fair game. But most importantly is what happens in the upper part of the neck. So those first two joints. So we've got that sort of shearing force that will lead to increased stress, strain through those ligaments, through the muscle, through any tissue that's holding the joints together. And so what's going on is there's a trauma that occurs. Those ligaments, those tissues are overstretched, and there's irritation. A lot of people will feel sore after a whiplash injury, motor vehicle accident, and that soreness will go away. It'll go away after a couple days, a week. And typically, if you go to the emergency room or if you go to see your primary care doctor, the soreness is not, it's something that is kind of overlooked. It's, you know, take some over-the-counter medication. Don't worry about it. It'll go away. Now they check for like fractures. They'll do an x-ray, which is good. You want to make sure that the bone, the structure of the bone itself wasn't compromised in any way. But the ligaments, the muscles, the tendons, those soft tissues were damaged in a sense. And so that soreness goes away. Maybe you don't have a headache right away. Some people do. And if it does happen right away, it might resolve within a day or two, just like the neck soreness. And you might have weeks or months where you feel relatively okay. You might have some minor symptoms. But because they took you to the ER and they ran x-rays and didn't find anything, or your primary care doctor didn't find anything that was worth pursuing at the time, these motor vehicle accidents are kind of forgotten about as the cause of what is later going to present as a headache or a migraine. And so think of weeks or months later, the patient starts to present with a headache. Maybe it's a daily headache, maybe it just comes and goes, but they start to experience a headache, and that can build into a migraine. So what's going on here is that trauma to the tissues in the neck led to soreness initially, but what happened is there was scar tissue that developed, and the joint itself was so compromised that it loses its available motion. So whether it's inflammation, scar tissue, or damage to the joint itself, the joint is not rotating. It's not flexing and extending or side bending. That available motion has been lost. And the body does a good job of compensating. So we've got other joints that can accomplish the same thing. So that compensation just uses those other joints. And for a period of time, that works. And that's why you can go months. And I've even seen patients that come in, years after this type of injury. And then these headaches start to develop. So once the body gets tired of compensating, the upper part of the neck will the body will realize that pain that's been there for a while. And so it's this delayed sort of forgotten about motor vehicle accident with delayed onset of headaches or migraines that it is not when it comes to like insurance companies or in our healthcare system, it would be kind of tough to have someone come in with headaches or migraines and say that if you had a car accident 6 months ago, that was likely the cause, because they want to see the symptoms start within like a week or two, or maybe even that day. And if you go to an insurance company and you're trying to get your healthcare expenses covered because you believe they're related to the accident, it's going to be tough for them to do that. And so usually the car accident goes forgotten, there's months in between, and then the patient presents with headaches or migraines. That's not always the situation. Sometimes it is right after, and I've worked with several patients like that. But I would say that most of the time I'm dealing with people that have dealt with headaches or migraines for 10, 15, 20 years, and they can recall a car accident, but they've never attributed their headaches to that. That's because they didn't realize that it was a neck problem in the first place, and there was maybe a delayed effect from the car accident that was difficult for them to associate the car accident with the onset of their headaches in their mind. So that's the motor vehicle accident scenario and the whiplash injury. So this whiplash injury is going to be the same scenario in an athlete. So you think of a soccer player going up for a header, getting hit in the head with the ball, and same type of thing. So your neck can't respond quick enough to stabilize itself, and so your head is forced in one direction, and you have that same sort of like shearing force on the upper part of the neck. Volleyball, same thing. I've had a few volleyball players who either get hit in the head with the ball, or it's that sort of like jumping, landing, your neck's not in the right position, and you're just constantly like repeatedly tweaking or causing like micro traumas to the neck in a position that it doesn't like. So typically it's going to be it can be multiple occasions of trauma, multiple incidents, but it's likely going to be something that is above and beyond what your day-to-day life looks like. Now we can get into, you know, what the resting, sitting posture, sedentary lifestyle does is that is also a very common way to develop this sort of loss of movement. But I would say for most people, it's a whiplash type injury, maybe a series of incidents, but for sure one or multiple that lead to this type of injury that results in a loss of movement in the upper part of the neck. So if you are someone that struggles with headaches or migraines, I want you to consider in your past, if you've had a motor vehicle accident, if you've fallen off a horse, if there was some head or neck trauma, abuse in the past, something that may have led to this type of injury, that's a really good sign that your neck has always been the problem and it just hasn't been addressed or evaluated appropriately. I also want the parents of middle school, high school kids to consider if their son or daughter has headaches or migraines. I want you to consider what their sport is playing into that, how it's playing into that. If they've had a few concussions, if you know that their ball has contacted their head in a way that they couldn't respond quick enough, and even if it wasn't this big event, the series of those types of subtle traumas to the head and neck can still cause this sort of injury. The other big one that I want to talk about is dance and gymnastics. So typically the dance and gymnastics athlete will be this hypermobile, very flexible young female. And females are 2 to 3 times more likely to experience headaches or migraines. And the gymnastics in particular, but dance as well, what's required of their bodies is above and beyond what I believe our bodies should be able to do. And so they have to push themselves even further into that flexibility category, which does compromise the stability of the joint. And doesn't mean like it's guaranteed to lead to injury, but it just means that they're more prone to injury. And the same is true for the upper part of the neck. So these young females that are hypermobile are just going to be more likely to experience this sort of head and neck type of trauma. Now, when you add in the tumbling and the somersaults and the stunts that are performed in gymnastics in their routine, let's say cheer if they get into the stunts and that sort of thing, and then in dance, there can easily be, almost on a daily practicing basis, there can be trauma to the head and the neck. And so it's very, very important to watch for this if your daughter or your son is involved in these types of things, because it can increase the amount of stress on the neck frequently. And so not something that necessarily needs to be avoided. I have a daughter, and I'm going to carefully consider if she should be in gymnastics, just because I've seen this happen so many times. But definitely, if there's any signs of your son or daughter having headaches or migraines, if they just tell you that they feel off, that they feel sick or nauseous, that they have sort of an aura, like a blurry vision, visual symptoms in any way, those are key signs that their neck needs to be evaluated, and we need to make sure that this is not something that's going to continue into adulthood, into their career, that's going to affect their college education, things like that. So just to summarize again, we have the two scenarios. We have a motor vehicle accident or head whiplash injury trauma, and then we also have the athlete that goes to their sporting events or practice and has the same sort of neck or head trauma from their athletic sport. And that's dance, that's volleyball, that's soccer, that's, you know, football and guys. And so think about that. If you are someone that has headaches or migraines, consider that. If you are currently an athlete in high school or middle school, but definitely for the parents to watch for that stuff. So this was episode number 7. And I hope you guys learned something. Stay tuned. Give me feedback. I mean, if you can comment or reach out to us. Again, we're here in Colorado Springs. The website is www.noveraheadachecenter.com. And it's my mission to empower you to break free from a life of fear and dependence and thrive in everything you do. Thanks for listening.